pastor asking me to preach tonight and bring this devotion. And every time that I get to come and bring the Word of God, I consider it a total honor, because this is a duty that I love serving my Lord. If you're happy to be in the house of God tonight, worshiping and praising God, say amen. Amen. If you're happy and you appreciate our veterans, say amen. Amen. They're the ones who allow us to do this. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I pray you do, we're opening up to Jonah chapter 4. Once you get there, Jonah chapter 4, if you would stand and acknowledge that you're ready, that way we can honor God's word with respect. Jonah chapter 4. Give you just a moment. That's not a problem, Pastor. Just go to Obadiah and turn right, and you'll find it. I'm giving you directions. All right. We're going to actually begin in verse number 10 of chapter 3, and we're going to read through chapter 4. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night, in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Father, we thank you for the lives and that have been laid down so that we could have the freedoms to come and worship you and learn from your word. Father God, I just pray that you be on this service tonight. You said where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are also. Jesus, we invite you into this service. And Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit move freely from heart to heart and mind to mind. Lord, touch them even now as your message starts to come out. Father, I ask that you hide me behind your cross, because God, it's about your Son, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about what I have to say, Lord, but it is about what you have to bring. Father, I love you. I pray that everything I do glorify and honor you tonight. Lay on my heart those words you need me to speak. Father, I give this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we have here, we all know the story of Jonah. We know that God told him to go down to Nineveh and preach to them. Jonah hated Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites. You understand, Nineveh was a wicked city. It was full of evil stuff. Nineveh, if you were to put it on today's map, would be up near, just within a 40-mile radius of Mosul in Iraq. Brother Paul, I believe you were out that way at one time. So this is up there near the Turkish border. Tarshish is over here in the south of Spain. This is where Jonah wanted to flee to. And he had good reason to flee. And I have to think about our lives today where God asked some of us to go. You see, in Nineveh, they were really a wicked people. If you got in trouble with the law, they had no problem taking you to the middle of the square in the city and started skinning you alive. Now understand, a body takes so much pain, it dies. So what they would do is they would stop, revive you, and then start skinning you again till they got it all. On the outside of their city, they stacked the skulls and the heads of those cities that they conquered. And when they deteriorated enough where that started to fall down, they would have to go out and conquer another city just to replenish their little statue there. So understand, Nineveh was an evil city. Jonah didn't want to go down there. You know that he fled to Tarshish, got on that ship, and they cast lots to find out who was at fault. Why is this tempest going like this? And finally, when they cast lots and it landed on Jonah, Jonah admitted, hey, I'm a Hebrew and I'm fleeing from God. I'm out of God's will. Jonah knew it. And that's fine. He's still going. And they asked him, what do I need to do? What do we need to do? Well, just throw me overboard. Well, man still thinks they know better. So what was their first response? Their first response was try and row the ship, if you would, toward shore. But they got nowhere. So when they finally did what Jonah told them would work, they picked him up and they threw him overboard. And when he hit the sea, what happened? The storm stopped. Now understand, and this is the nice thing about that part of the story, this is the great thing, is that these unsaved men who were started to pray to their gods, they started praying to our God. They started praying to the God who's bigger than that storm. They started praying to the God who brought the storm. So now as the story goes, Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Jesus, in later on in the Gospels, called it a whale. But at the end of the chapter, of chapter 1, it says, God prepared a great fish. I personally think, and here again, I have no biblical basis on this. This is a Billology thing, so don't take it as gospel, please. But I personally think that that great fish God prepared it for a one-time use. I think it was a species this world has never seen. And it doesn't matter. That's not the issue. The issue is that God prepared that fish and gave us a picture of what would become the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. So, in chapter 3, God gave Jonah a second chance. Isn't it great to know that God is a God of chances? You know, could you imagine if we did our sins and God didn't give us a second chance? He never sent his son. You realize what kind of world this would be right now? the tribulation that's coming. What's coming is a whole lot of you ain't seen nothing yet, because when the church comes out of this world, Satan's got full will to do whatever he wants to do. And there's no one going to restrain him. It doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit won't be here. He'll be here, because he's going to be working through 144,000 Jewish Pauls. And I'm going to call them Pauls, because the revival that's coming at that time is going to be something you haven't seen yet either. You see, we need revival in this country. We need revival in our church. We need revival in our families. So Jonah took that second chance and he went to Nineveh. Well, praise God, the Ninevites listened. Because not just one or two people repented, the whole city repented, even to the king. Now, we pick up here in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 3, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So God gives us chances. He allows us to make our choices. Even after we've accepted his son and we start living a Christ-centered, Christ-filled lives, from time to time, we walk ourselves out of the will of God just by choices we make. But there's consequences to those choices. You see, God puts that before us. He says, if you sin, there's going to be consequences. And this is what so many Christians today don't understand. You've got preachers out there that teach, you know what? You've accepted Jesus. If you tell that little lie, you've lost your salvation. That's not what the Bible says. Understand, here's the question I always ask someone that says of that. When God closed the door on the ark, could Noah get out? Even if he wanted to he couldn't bear his friends and others that were drowning outside. I can only imagine what it sounded like, if he even heard it in the ark. But could Noah have jumped off that ship? No. You see, he was in God's protection. Him and the seven other members of his family. You see, Noah was in God's grace. He was in God's will and did exactly what he did, what he was supposed to. But understand, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You see, he wanted God to destroy Nineveh. He wanted God to rain hellfire and brimstone, just like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted him to wipe them off the face of the earth. Well, here's the problem. Our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. God has a plan. God's had a plan since he formed Adam. That plan, understand, when God made Adam, he made a perfect being. And he gave Adam the same will and the same choices that he gives to us. So as we walk day to day, and I think it's fitting, Brother Jerry's talking about this lady that he remembered. You know, it's awesome that we remember those things. Today over at Wagon Wheel, God blessed me in so many ways, but the biggest blessing that he gave me was seeing a young man that God gave me the privilege to win to the Lord. He was there in service today. Little Dylan. He was led to the Lord up in church camp this year. And I'm going to tell you, my heart just grew light, because I saw such a change in this young man. Even the testimony of those that sit around him and know him have said it's been a 180-degree change. He's got a twin brother, and they said today, Brother Kevin up there said, I couldn't tell them apart. They could be in the same room, and he couldn't tell them apart. They were that identical. But he can now. Because the change that came over Dylan is the change that comes over everybody that accepts Jesus Christ into their lives. And they go to the foot of the cross and sincerely take him into their lives. Jonah saw one thing. He saw the Ninevites as a people that were cruel. He saw the Ninevites as a people that was destroying God's word. How many times have you heard it on the news, especially through the 90s, of abortion clinics being blown up in the name of God? God didn't tell us to do this. He told us to go and witness. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and tell them. Too many times we get hung up on what's going on. We want to pass judgment. I understand God also told us, judge not lest ye be judged by the same standard that you're judging other people. God tells us to be forgiving. We're to forgive people so that God can forgive us. That's what God is saying here. So Jonah, he goes, and Jonah is a perfect example of a modern day Christian and what's going on in this world today. I mean, think about it. Facebook, and I'm guilty of sharing some of the stuff that comes out because it gets kind of comical. But you know, Christians are bashing people that are bashing Trump. And it's funny because some of their words are getting just as hateful as the ones who sent the bashing about Trump. Look, it's real simple. Brother Bill, how can you say that? Trump's doing a great job. Yes, he is. You know what? God put him in authority over us. And I'm sorry to say it, and I know I'm going to get tomatoes thrown right now, but Nancy Pelosi was put there by God too. Doesn't mean I have to like her, but God says we're to love her. We need to love her with the love of Christ. So we need to pray for her. She was placed in authority over us, and we have to abide by the laws set before us. But he did give us an out. If those laws go against what he commands, that's our out. You see, we live in a wicked world today, and it's only going to get worse. But as Christians, as born again, blood-bought children of God, we are to do something that's the hardest thing in the world, and that's to bend our knees and love them anyway. Understand, there was a person that went to Christ Church of the Valley in San Dimas, California. Christ Church of the Valley was a non-denominational church. My mom went there when she was alive. And the people there were truly Christ-like. They loved God. Then the pastor stepped down and the people that came in, it changed. And that's sad reality for so many churches. But I brought it up because there was one family in there. This lady's son went to an ATM in Covina, California, right across the street from Pac-Mail where I worked. And he went in to draw $40. Walked up to the ATM, got the $40 out. Next thing you know, he's shot in the back. And the $40 was stolen. Now, most people don't understand or they just forget. When you walk up to the ATM, when it's activated, there's a camera behind these little mirror things. And it catches everything. So they got the guy. And they went through the trial. And it came to the sentencing phase. And you get to the sentencing phase, the family gets to stand up and say things that they... You know, you see it all the time. You go to court TV And you hear moms and embittered women, you hear them, family, dads, the same thing. You guys, if you remember the OJ trial, Ron Goldman's dad got up there and just wanted to see OJ just ripped apart right then and there. The mother of this man stood up right in the middle of that court, and she turned and looked at the person that killed her son and said, "I forgive you. I love you. And I hope one day you find Jesus." That's what a Christian's supposed to be. You know what? We could have our worst moments in life. We need to go to God, and we need to put God on every morning. It's not something that we take off, go to sleep, hang it up and wash it and come back. We need to live Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It doesn't matter. As long as we're on the face of the earth, we need to put Christ first. Jonah here, Jonah saw what he saw. I hate the Ninevites. How many people do we know? I hate the Democrats. I hate the Republicans. I hate red. I hate blue. Guess what? You know what? This is not a political speech, by the way, but this is what our world has come down to. Our world has come down to voting for a color. Our world has come down, our nation, and I'm going to talk about our nation only, has come down to voting for this man or this woman. You know what? Quit playing the games. Get out your Bible. Bend your knees, like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Get on your knees and ask God who you should vote for. We have a year left in this presidency. Pretty soon, everyone's going to the ballots. And I'm telling you, everyone's trying to get a man out of office that's trying to bring God back into America. And he's doing a great job doing it. And that's what people are upset against. They're not disliking Trump. They're disliking the fact that Jesus is winning out. So Jonah went out of the city, went over to the east side, and he builds himself a little booth. A booth is like a lean-to. It's a little shelter, if you will. As a matter of fact, there's a feast that the Jewish people celebrate every year. It's called the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's what this is. It should be actually the Feast of the Booths. So this is what he did. He went out there, and if you've been out here in the desert here, it gets hot in the summer. And I don't know what time of year this really was, but I do know out there in the heat in the Middle East, it can get very hot. As a matter of fact, it's so hot, you've got to have so much water. So even sitting in the shade can drain you. So what did God do? God helped Jonah out. He grew a gourd, and it provided Jonah shade. Jonah still wasn't happy. I think Jonah truly wanted to see God destroy Nineveh before his eyes. But understand, Jonah never saw the whole picture that God saw. You see, in the life that is, or in the painting that's called your life, God is seen from beginning to end. He knows what's going on. Understand, see, Jesus said, "I knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb." Nobody knows you better than God does. No one can outlove God. God loved you so much, He sent His Son to die on that cross for us. Jonah just knew that God was going to show mercy to Nineveh. And he didn't like it. And I don't mean to keep harping on that, but that's how we get. God, I don't want to go to Egypt to preach. God, I mean, Pastor has said it himself. How many people came up to Pastor and said, what is out in Vegas? A bunch of heathen sinners. Guess what? This city needs it just as much as anybody else. And here's one for you. Iraq needs it just as much as anybody else. They need God just like we do. God didn't die for certain people and everyone else is left out in the boat to sink or out in the ocean to sink. God died, Jesus died on that cross for each and every person on the face of this earth. God loves everybody enough to give them a second chance. The only sin that's going to get you thrown into hell, and you got to make that choice, is to reject His Son. And that's what we have to go tell people. The message is simple. So, God makes the shade, but over the night, He puts a worm in it, and the worm destroys the gourd. Now understand, that's a pretty mean worm to destroy a gourd that fast. Alright? But understand, sometimes God works instantly. He's got a purpose for it. And what we're seeing here is so many things. First thing, when Holly had the issue with her heart, she was in that hospital. We got her up to the room, and the very first question out of her mouth was, why? When I was hit by the bus on hit by that car on Thursday, first thing was, God, why? Why is this being allowed in my life right now? Why is my wife having heart issues right now? And there's only one of two answers I can come up with. One, God wants my attention. He's got something to show me. Guess what? God, show me, please. Show me what you need us to do. How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to go? But there's another reality here. Whatever it is that you're going through, someone is watching. This person over here is watching your life, and what you do in your situation could be what leads this person to Jesus. God uses us this way. Like it was said earlier, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So, what did God do? He brought that worm and the gourd withered and died. Jonah was upset again. Man, God, you gave me a gourd, you gave me shade, now you took it away. What are you doing? First off, in the military, we don't question why. The saying goes, ours is not to question why, Brother Jerry, it's to do or die. All right? Guess what? We shouldn't be questioning God. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. When our job is done here, God will call us home. And then we'll have our rest. Amen? We have a time of rejoicing. My mom, she used to say it all the time. First thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is I'm going to punch Eve right in the mouth. And I always had to look at her because, Mom, you're not going to punch anybody in the mouth because the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven is you're going to fall at the feet of Jesus and thank Him. You're going to be worshiping and praising God that you made it to heaven through His grace. Those who don't know Jesus, they're going to be falling at the feet of Jesus too, and they're going to be proclaiming Him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You see, Jesus is going to have His day. Jesus has won this battle. It's already won. He won it that day on the tree when He said, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. The victory's been won. So, and the question God asked him, on everything when he went and pouted on the eave. When the worm destroyed the gourd, God asked Jonah the same thing. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Doest thou well to be angry over Nineveh? You know what? You want to be angry at God, you're barking up the wrong tree. Understand, God is not a respecter of persons. God, the Bible says, will not be mocked. God has a purpose for everything you're going through. He allows things for a reason. All I can think of is Job. Job had everything. And he lost everything. Not once did his eyes turn from God. God honored that and gave him double back what he had. God blessed him for his faithfulness. Understand, we are not, as we go through our lives, we're not to worry about who God brings to him. We're just go out and plant a seed. You see, farmers, when they go out, Brother Jerry, you can tell me if I'm wrong, Pastor, you can. Those who have ever lived on a farm or grown anything, you have to die before you can grow. That seed has to be buried and dead before it grows. All we have to do is plant that seed. That's all God asks us to do by telling you. You realize sometimes how you react to your situation is telling exactly what God needs you to say. Sometimes it doesn't take words. Sometimes all it takes is us being thankful for what we do. You may be going through the roughest time of your life right now, but you don't have to. You can give it to God. You can accept it and say, God, you're in the driver's seat. You know what's going to happen. Thursday, I should have been probably hurt a lot worse than what I came out. That's the hand of God. All I can say, because the doctor there at UMC Trauma said, you're 59 years old. You should have been hurt. They tell me that when I saw the video, if you saw it, it would have been a great scene from The Exorcist. I was thrown up. I was thrown down. I was turned sideways. I was every which way. God had a plan for me that day. And that was to be a witness in UMC. I can't stand UMC. As a matter of fact, I asked the ambulance to take me up to the VA hospital. Oh, I can't do that. It's our protocol. If you're hit by a vehicle going over 40 miles an hour, we take you to UMC Trauma. But I don't like them. Well, you can sign a waiver. And my supervisor's outside saying, no, take them to UMC. I had no choice. God needed me at UMC that day. I don't know what happened with the people I touched. I don't know what happened. They said, how are you even here? And by the grace of God. It's through the love of Jesus, through Jesus' hand, that I'm standing today. This isn't me, nothing I've done. This is God. Each one of us woke up today because God saw mercy on us. You want a sign? You want a miracle? Look at your own life. That's what the miracle is. You're alive because God said you live today. It's not time to go home. Your job's not done. Some people like Jonah, they're angry over, well, this person's in charge, so I'm going to sit over here and I'm going to pout. You know what? Pout all you want. It's not going to change a thing. God's victory is going to be God's victory. So we either get on board and we accept it and we get the joy that we're meant to have. Or we go and we just argue. It's not worth it. Life's too short. You hear that all the time. We're getting too old for this. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a purpose for each and every one of you. God has a purpose for us. He's a God of second chances. If you're out of the will of God right now for whatever reason, you can get that taken care of tonight. That's what these altars are here for you to come up and have forgiveness. Maybe someone's sitting here tonight that doesn't know Jesus. Guess what? I pray that if you don't, that tonight you'll come to know Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of your salvation. You could walk out these doors. I found out, you know what? Moving happily along, and your life changed, bam, just like that. We're not promised our next breath. Holly was at a doctor's appointment, thinking everything was going great. Next thing you know, she's in the emergency room with people just all over the place, rushing here and there, trying to get her fixed up because she's having heart problems. We're not promised our next breath. So if you don't know Jesus, I ask you tonight, come up. It only takes a couple of minutes to be introduced to Him. And it's the greatest introduction you'll ever have. You won't meet a better person. You won't meet a more loving person than God. Jesus is God. God raised Him from the dead. He is God in flesh. He's the Word manifested in flesh. Jesus is God. Come and meet Him today. Maybe you just want to say thank you for the veterans that are here that have put their lives on the line and those families that allowed them to. Because guess what? When a veteran serves, their family serves. It's hard to support someone who's putting their life on the line each and every day. I can only imagine. But there, Sister Kathy and others, Sister Rose, that have lived it their whole life with them. This is what it means to be in service. Maybe you just want to know where God wants you. Come up and ask Him. Say, God, where do you want me? I'm ready to serve. Remember, He called out to Samuel. Samuel! Here I am, Lord. Excuse me. Let's stand.